Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guiding Light. Let me put it on gallery view. There we go. I had it on speaker view for Kate. Doesn't she look, as the saying goes, pretty in pink? Did you notice? She's talking about sickness, but she's glowing. You know, in pink, it just makes her skin glow. She looked like the healthiest person alive as she was talking about sickness as a defense against God. So what I am going to do is play a song, only I haven't actually picked one yet because, again, I was listening to her. But I'm all set. We'll just play the very first song in my song list, and we won't worry about looking for something else. I'm sure the first song is going to be perfect. This is George Harrison, My Sweet Lord.
Okay, that worked for me. Hope it worked for you.
Yeah, the song for me is like the prayer. So what I heard in that prayer was the ego belief, you know, this is going to take a long time. We just looked at that recently in the teachings of Inner Ramana, right? This is going to take a long time. And then what I also heard in the song was, you know, if there's enough desire, if that really is all I want, is to know you, Lord, to go with you, Lord, then it won't take so long, right? I was looking at quotes by Nisargadatta Maharaj the other day, and one of the quotes, I would read it to you, but it's upstairs. One of the quotes talked about how this would take such a short time. That's what he says, a short time. Of course, that's if you're really motivated. Oh, I always like to pause and see who's here on Super Bowl Sunday. I think if you're here, you deserve credit. So everybody here gets special credit. Of course, are there any guys here? No, not a single one. We need a guy to show up and show that he cares more about this than the Super Bowl. Hey, Anne, when are you going to India?
The 16th of February.
If I send you some money, will you buy me a black meditating Jesus from Shiva?
How about I'll buy you a black meditating Jesus of Shiva?
Okay. I definitely want one, but I'll send you the money.
I would demur on the money, but I'm happy to get you one.
Okay. Thank you. We'll argue about that later.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I'll write him and tell him that I want one so he can make sure he has one all made. Okay. And then I'll ask him how much. I like giving the money because, you know, I'm giving the money to Shiva, right?
I guarantee you Shiva will get some money from me.
Okay. All right. So now everybody's thinking of the guys who aren't here, right? We're so-and-so. Well, you know, but the Super Bowl just started, like half an hour ago or so. So, you know, they're involved with what they think is important, I guess. But we're involved with what's really important. Look at this, Ramana Maharshi. Yeah, we're going to look at the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And we are beginning on page 81, near the top of the page. And it's the very first question on the page is where we're going to start. Why should he not create the aspiration in me? Oh, yeah, I remember this conversation. Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes these devotees, you know, it's just kind of silly, you know. This is a devotee, or, you know, I'm using the word devotee, you know, it could just be a person, you know, that just came to see Ramana Maharshi, maybe not really a devotee, you know, but I'm going to call it a seeker. This seeker, I think that's probably a better word than a devotee, especially considering how this conversation is going. This particular seeker seems to want God to do everything for him, you know. God should be able to save me. God should, you know, and Ramana Maharshi said to that, yes, he will if you have the aspiration, right? And then he's like, well, then God should give me the aspiration. So let's just talk about that for a minute. First of all, in a way, there is no God. Y'all understand that, you know, like there is no God that's separate from me, you know, in the way that many of us, most of us used to believe. But it's okay to call consciousness God. And if you call consciousness God, well, then most certainly there is a God because there is consciousness, right? But consciousness is everything and everyone, each and every one of us. So when that aspiration for awakening does arise in us, it is most definitely coming from consciousness, coming from God. Where else would it come from? That's all that is. But interestingly enough, even if we don't have the aspiration to awaken, that is coming from consciousness. That is coming from God. You know, I love the way Elie Ruzdar would say it. You know, like if you're talking about somebody over there who doesn't have a desire to awaken, you know, she would say, well, God just still wants to play a little more over there in that person. Just wants to play being that person a little longer. So it's kind of interesting how we talk sometimes. And, you know, talking is always going to happen in the way talking happens. But in reality, whatever desire I have to awaken does come from God. Does come from consciousness. As well as whatever, you know, not desire I have, you know, whatever. I don't want to call it a lack because that's not a fair word. There is no such thing as lack. You know, if I am not interested in awakening, that's not lack. That's just apparent difference, right? That's consciousness playing differently in a particular person. And it's perfect and it's full as it is. But when that calling comes to awaken, when that desire comes to awaken, I think it's really, really sweet to realize that is consciousness now preparing to wake up in this person. Just like consciousness still wants to play over there in that person, right? Consciousness wants to wake up in this person. And if you think about that for a minute, that's pretty cool. You know, that's really cool. There's something going on here. And I like to honor that. I like to love that. I like to see that as a gift. I like to respect where it comes from. So although this particular seeker's attitude is a little off, you know, God should make me want it. the truth is, that's what's happening. You know, and it's just nice, I think, sometimes to stop and appreciate that, because if we really appreciate where this calling is coming from, I don't know. To me, it kind of dissolves some of the resistance. If I really appreciate where this calling is coming from. Appreciate that consciousness is ready to wake up in this person now, right? So let's see where this conversation goes. So why should he not create the aspiration in me? And Ramana Maharshi says, then surrender yourself. So what's surrender? What is surrender? To me, the ultimate surrender is surrendering everything I think I know and surrendering into not knowing. Let's talk about Dawn for a minute, right here in front of her. You know, like this morning when she forgot to push record. And we all got to see how bad she felt about that, right? But she could only feel bad if she thought she knew that she was supposed to push record. If you didn't actually know whether that was supposed to happen today or not, you couldn't feel bad. In other words, the more we think we know, the more ego, the more judgment, because they're really the same thing, can be present. The more I think I know, the more ego, the more judgment can be present. The more I don't know, the more I'm just wide-eyed, open, happy, and discovering. Right? Wide-eyed, open, happy, and discovering. So for me, the word surrender really, I mean this, I don't know how I can say this more meaningfully.
I'm not surrendered if I think I know something. True surrender means I don't know, Lord. We'll use that word Lord since we listened to that song. I don't know, Lord. Now do with me whatever you would do with me. Use me in whatever way you would use me. And I promise to love everything exactly as it is. That's genuine surrender. So let's see where the conversation goes now. Again, the seeker is saying, why should he not create the aspiration in me? And Maharshi says, then surrender yourself. I know why I say devotee because they have a D for the questioner, but I'm going to say seeker. The seeker says, if I surrender myself, is no prayer to God necessary? If I surrender myself, is no prayer to God necessary? And Ramana Maharshi says, surrender itself is a mighty prayer. I'd like to just be with that for a moment. Surrender itself is a mighty prayer. You know, a prayer traditionally is thought of as asking for something, right? You know, like as a kid. In fact, my cousin, my niece one time, because she wasn't raised in a very religious household, but I heard her saying a prayer one day. She was praying to God, and she was asking for the things that she wanted, which are different toys at the time. But you could tell in her prayer, it was so cute that she had God and Santa Claus mixed up. She thought they were the same one. I think a lot of people have that confusion. Right? They pray for the things they want, right? If we think of prayer as asking for a moment, and then we remember that surrender is not knowing. Through not knowing, what we are asking for is God's will, whatever it is. That's the only thing you could possibly ask for through not knowing. It's what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Your will, not mine. In surrender, we don't have God and Santa Claus confused, right? So again, Ramana Maharshi says, surrender itself is a mighty prayer. And the seeker says, but is it not necessary to understand his nature before one surrenders oneself? And I'm not exactly sure what the seeker means by that, but I'll tell you what that brings up in me. I think that that's a, he's just asking Ramana, is it not necessary to understand his nature before one surrenders oneself? But I think a lot of people have this idea in their mind, even if they wouldn't consciously say it, that before I surrender, I better know God really well, make sure God's not going to make me suffer, make sure God's still going to give me what I want. You know, I have to be sure of all of this before I surrender, right? So not only do I have to know God's nature, but I have to make sure it's pleasing to me. You know, and so that stops a lot of people from genuine surrender, right? I'm thinking of the song now about, I want to know you, Lord, and the line that it will take a long time. And it will take a long time to know God. If I'm requiring God to be pleasing to me, because there's no surrender in that. You know, so if that's my attitude, I remember you know, you could say when I first started this spiritual path, but it was actually a few years before. You know, some of you have heard that story about how in 2004 I started reading A Course in Miracles and I said a prayer on the Disney cruise. You know, that's kind of what I consider my official start of the spiritual path. But several years before that, in fact, probably around, I'm going to guess 1990, which is quite a, you know, 14 years prior. I said a prayer, and I think this prayer was my real start to the spiritual path. This desire arose in me that I wanted to know what truth was. And in my prayer, listen to these important, important words. In my prayer, I said, please just show me the truth. I don't care what it is. Right? And most people in their religious searches, in their religious seeking, that's not really true. They don't want to just know the truth, regardless of what it is. They want the truth to meet certain requirements. You know, for example, some people want the truth to be Christian, right? If the truth isn't Christian, if the truth isn't that Jesus died for my sins, well then, you know, I don't want to hear that, right? So again, in order to be a genuine seeker, you have to surrender even your ideas about what you're seeking. You know, what if? I had to ask myself this question many times. What if we are nothing more than biological accidents that are born, live 70, 75, 80 years, and then we die, and that's the truth? Am I willing to discover and accept that as the truth? Or do I have some requirement in my mind that, you know, the truth has to be, you know, bliss, enlightenment, heaven? You know, what am I seeking? Am I seeking truth? Or am I seeking the stories that fulfill my desire for what I want to hear? I was listening to a Michael Langford audio yesterday morning. And in that particular audio, what he was talking about is how humans have beliefs, have ideas that they want to be true. And then their mind seeks the evidence that proves that they are right. I wish you could feel me, because that just makes my heart sad. Because in doing that, we don't care at all about truth. Right? So what if? I mean, I think it's worth pondering. What if the truth is that we're just biological accidents that get born, live 75, 80, 85 years, and then die? Are we willing to discover that that's the truth? Now, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying, how bad do we want truth? How bad do we want to know the difference between what's real and what's fantasy? You know, what are we seeking? Why are we here? Now, these are important, important questions that I have pondered. And I remember at one point on the spiritual path, at that point I realized, I couldn't actually know that there was anything like eternal consciousness. That maybe this path I was on was just as made up as the different religions that I look at, and I can see that they're made up, right? And I decided to walk this path anyway because I noticed myself getting genuinely happier. I noticed myself letting go of grievances, letting go of the belief in rejection and abandonment, letting go of judgment, letting go of the I am bad belief. And I hadn't noticed that with any of the previous paths that I had tried. And so at the very least, I thought, if I'm only going to live to 75 or 80 years old and then die, at least I have found a path where something genuine is going on. It's not just a belief system, like so many spiritual paths are, because this is a letting go path. It's an undoing path. And I knew that there would be freedom in it. So not knowing whether there was anything like eternal consciousness or not, I still made a decision that my path, my feet were on the right path for me. And again, I think it's really important that we consider some of this hard stuff. Like, am I here because I want to find what I want to find? Or am I here because this is exactly what I want to do with this life? Right? This is what I most desire with this life. Let's go back to the conversation. Surrender itself is a mighty prayer. But is it not necessary to understand his nature before one surrenders oneself? Ramana Maharshi, if you believe that God will do for you all the things you want him to do, then surrender yourself to him. Otherwise, let God alone and know yourself. That's interesting. If you believe that God will do for you all the things you want him to do, then surrender yourself to him. And again, surrender is letting go of everything you think you know. So, you know, if you believe that God is going to give you everything you think, what's holding you back? You know, why do you have to continue to try to hold on to anything? And if you don't believe that about God, why not turn your attention to knowing yourself? There's a lovely trick in Ramana Maharshi's answer. Because whichever path you choose to take, if you take it wholeheartedly, you're going to end up in the same place. If you choose to surrender completely to God, and remember we talked about surrender as not knowing, right? You couldn't even possibly have a preference or a desire or want to control anything because you don't know anything, right? That's genuine surrender. So you're just God's puppet. His will, not your will, right? If you follow that path very, very deeply, you are going to find the truth. Because all of your ideas that would have blocked it are going to be out of the way. But if you don't want to surrender, and you start seeking within to find out what you really are, prior to your ideas, prior to your preferences, prior to your identifications, you're going to end up in the same place. So what's really beautiful about this answer that Ramana Maharshi is giving is he is giving two options, either of which are going to end up in truth realization. If you believe that God will do for you all the things you want him to do, then surrender yourself to him. Otherwise, let God alone and know yourself. The seeker. Has God or the guru any solicitude for me? So I have to look up solicitude. Makes me think of the word soliciting, but I don't know if solicitude. My dictionary doesn't like that word very well. Care or concern for someone or something. So it's not soliciting, solicitude. I guess when you're soliciting, you have care or for concern whether people will buy your stuff or not. But solicitude, care or concern for someone or something. So has God or the guru any solicitude for me? So does God or the guru care about me is really the question. Ramana Maharshi says, if you seek either, referring to God or inner guru, if you seek either, they are not really two, but one and identical. Rest assured that they are seeking you with a solicitude greater than you can ever imagine. And I know that that's true because I know the difference in how I care about people. Prior to, I don't know what to call it, I'll just call it my current level of clarity. You know, when I was more absorbed in me, I cared about people in relationship to me. You know, so like if you were my friend and we went out, we hung out, we did good things together and I had fun with you, then I cared about you. And if something happened in that relationship where, you know, you were no longer meeting my needs as a friend, I ceased to care about you. So I cared about people in relationship to me. There's another type of caring that has nothing to do with me. It starts from behind the me. And if there are enough holes poked in the me by letting go of beliefs and attitudes and preferences and values and all of that, it can shine right through the me. And it doesn't care for any reason. It just cares. Sometimes people don't recognize it as love. And the reason they don't recognize it as love is they're still judging love based on their me, right? So they want love to look a certain way and they're judging what is and is not love based on their me. But love just loves without reason. And because love just loves without reason, you can't do anything to stop it, you know, to make it end. So, you know, when Ramana Maharshi says, what's that word they're using here? Solicitude. When Ramana Maharshi says, they are seeking you with a solicitude greater than you can ever imagine. What he really means is you can't imagine this love that has nothing in it but love, right? No conditions, no expectations, no anything but love. The seeker says, Jesus gave the parable of the lost coin, wherein the woman searches for it till it is found. And Ramana Maharshi says, yes, that aptly represents the truth. The God or the guru is always in search of the earnest seeker. Were the coin a dud piece, the woman would not have made that long search. Do you see what it means? The seeker must qualify himself through devotion, etc. So I think what Ramana Maharshi is saying now could be misunderstood. You know, it could be misunderstood that, remember I talked about that guy over there who's not interested in awakening yet? It could be misunderstood that he's actually not good enough for God. but that's not what Ramana Maharshi means. Let me read this to you again. Again, Jesus gave the parable of the lost coin, wherein the woman searches for it till it is found. Ramana Maharshi, yes, that aptly represents the truth. The God or the guru is always in search of the earnest seeker. Were the coin a dud piece, the woman would not have made that long search. Do you see what it means? The seeker must qualify himself through devotion, etc. So again, it sounds like there's some circumstances on the seeker, you know, that you have to meet some requirements before God reaches for you. But what I have in my mind is an image. And it's an image of it's almost like a wind. And it's a wind that blows into the heart, which causes someone to start seeking. And when they say yes to that, the wind increases. And when they say yes again, the wind increases. And when they say yes again, the wind increases. So the wind started the desire, and then the wind increases as the person says yes, right? If a person for some reason should say no, and to be honest, I'm not even sure that this is possible, but let's just go with it for a second. If a person for some reason should say no, the wind would just quietly withdraw until another time, right? Why? Because the wind loves. And the wind is not going to force itself on anyone, right? It's not lack of love. It's not judgment, oh, you're not good enough for me, that causes the wind to withdraw and wait quietly in the background. It's pure unconditional love. So as long as you're saying yes, 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 like Meg Ryan in Harry Met Sally. Remember the diner scene? Yes, 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 right? It increases and increases and increases and increases, right? So our job is to say yes. That's our job. Yes, 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 right? So Ramana Maharshi says, that aptly represents the truth that God or the guru is always in search of the earnest seeker, the one who will say yes. Otherwise, it lovingly withdraws, right? Were the coin a dud piece, the woman would not have made that long search. Do you see what it means? The seeker must qualify himself through devotion. I would just say the seeker must say yes. Yes, 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 it's necessary. Because if you say no out of love, it withdraws. You know, I've had different friends on this path, and I will tell you guys, friends come and go. At least that's been my experience. Friends come and go, even on the spiritual path. You know, so different people come into my life as a friend, and then at some point they go. Often just through natural means, right? Just natural transitions and changes. But there have been a couple of friends who have pulled back out of grievance. And whenever a friend pulls back out of grievance, they find something about me that they, you know, that they believe is what I'm going to say. It's usually not true at all. They find something about me that they believe and they pull back out of grievance. Here is my response. I leave them alone out of love. You know, if they want to hate me, they're free to. I love them enough to let them do that. I don't try and cling. I don't try and bring them back into my life and make them be my friend again through some artificial means of anything, out of making up being who they want me to be, of anything. That's the way love is. Love just loves, right? You're even free to pull away from me. And I love you, and I let you, and I let you do that. Well, what if Jasmine did that? She did do that. She did do that. I was telling that story last week, as a matter of fact. She got mad at me one time, and she pulled away for about 4 months. She didn't text me, call me, anything. She was at college at the time, so it was easy to do. We were physically separated. And I let her. Yeah, I didn't try and make her want to be with me. In fact, what would try and make her want to be with me? Love or selfishness? Selfishness all the way. because it's what I want. I want my daughter to like me, right? I want, it's all about me. And of course, you know, with Jasmine, you know, after 4 months, oh, you're going through that with your son. That's why you're asking. Yeah. Well, it's natural. You know, it's natural for children to pull away from parents, you know, at least temporarily. You know, you've heard the saying, they have to cut the apron strings, right? God forbid, you know, they don't grow up, right? So just love them. That's the only job we have, is to love them. And yeah, when Jasmine was in that 4 month period where she wanted nothing to do with me, I didn't text her or anything. And then every now and then she would text me just because she had to, like some kind of a question that had to be asked of the mama. And I just give her answer. And then we went right back to not talking. And I loved her the whole time. I had no grievance. I had no fear around it. And that's the truth. That's the honest truth. Love allows you to be exactly as you are. Only selfishness would ask you to be a certain way. And if you really look at it, when you want somebody to be a certain way, it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you. It's what you want. It's definitely selfishness. Just ask, you know, just look. But love allows you to be as you are. So back to our conversation. So again, do you see what it means? The seeker must qualify himself through devotion. So we have to say yes, 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 or love will pull back and allow us to be as we are, right? So if we want to invite love in, we have to say yes to it as it comes. In this case, I'm referring to, of course, light, love, inner wisdom, awakening. The seeker says, but one may not be quite sure of God's grace. Again, so, you know, we keep having this same conversation tonight, whether we're talking about our children or whether we're talking about God, you know, we're looking at them through the filter of me and what I want from them. You know, we want God to be the God that I want God to be. We want our children to be who we want them to be. We want our friends to be who we want them to be. You know, I want you to be the kind of friend I want you to be, you know, how friendly is that? Right? And yet everybody accepts it as perfectly normal, but it's not normal. Are you on an airplane, Anne? You look like you're on an airplane. Are you? Well, good. That's dedication. Now I feel loved. Listening to me on an airplane. How cool is that? Yeah. But, you know, that's what people do. People look at everything through the filter of what I want. Why is there so much divorce? Because my partner is not what I want. Why do parents and children fight? Because my parent is not what I want, or my child is not what I want. And why is this seeker afraid to surrender to God? Well, what if God's not what I want? It's really something that we can all look at. What do we want? Do we want the whole world to conform to me? And is that ever going to happen? I mean, like, you know, everybody else is looking at it from their point of view. They're not going to conform to me. So if I want the whole world to conform to me, guess what I get to do? Suffer a lot, because they're not doing it, right? And they're never going to do it. But do I want the whole world to conform to me and what I want? Or, this gets back to a question we were looking at earlier, am I a genuine seeker of truth? Yeah, Malkin, you get an award, a guy who showed up on Super Bowl Sunday.
Thank you. I just got that. Yeah.
You noticed all the other guys aren't here.
I actually just walked away from the TV, but I'm here.
Yeah. Well, in fact, a year or two ago, Dove was the only guy here, and I said that to him. I said, Dove, congratulations. He goes, well, actually, I have the TV on, too. But yeah, you know, I think we really want to contemplate. Ali says he's a guy and he's here. Sorry, you get an award too then, Ali. So we really want to contemplate again. What is it that we seek? Do we seek what's pleasing to me in God, in our relationships, and my ideas of truth? Or are we genuine truth seekers, where we want to know what the truth is, and we put no requirements on that, no expectations on that, just whatever the truth is, I want to know it. And if you think about that for a moment, if you're willing to seek truth no matter what it is, even if it turns out that we're just biological mistakes that are born and then die, right? But you're willing to seek truth no matter what it is. Isn't that kind of the same as God loving you no matter what you are or what choices you make? I mean, when you seek truth no matter what it is, you're already being the presence of love. So you'll most definitely find it. You know, as I was told when I received the calling to write NTI, I was told love cannot say no to a request for love. And that doesn't mean that conditional love, like how do I know that God is going to be what I want God to be? That means that unconditional love where I seek it no matter what it is. I just want to know the truth. It's all I want. I want to know the difference between what's real and what's not real. So again, the seeker says, but one may not be quite sure of God's grace. And Ramana Maharshi says, if the unripe mind does not feel his grace, it does not mean that God's grace is absent, for it would imply that God is at times not gracious, that is, ceases to be God. You see, God can't not be love. God can't not love you, even in apparently pulling away when you say no. That apparent pulling away, that backing off when you say no to the calling is love, because you said no, right? That's love. Just like I, you know, let Jasmine be away from me for 4 months, or I let my friends pull away from me. Love lets you pull away. Otherwise, love would be just as selfish as everyone else. No, 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 no. I want you right here with me. Pretty soon you're going to start feeling smothered by love. How many of you ladies have felt smothered by a boyfriend before? Because he just, you know, loved you a little too much? Right? Love backs off if you say no, and love comes at you if you say yes. So the question is, what do you want to say? Right? That's the question. What do you want to say? Are you ready to take this ride no matter where it goes? Did you hear those words? Are you ready to take this ride no matter where it goes? Because that's love. So if the unripe mind does not feel his grace, it does not mean that God's grace is absent, for it would imply that God is at times not gracious, that is, ceases to be God. And now the seeker says, is that the same as the saying of Christ? According to thy faith, be it done unto thee. And Roman Maharshi says, quite so. Right? It's according to your yeses. According, and you know, we say yes and no in ways that we may not fully contemplate. Like in the morning, yes, I'm going to sit here and close my eyes for 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, because I want to seek God, like in the song we listened to at the beginning of this teaching. Or no, I'm too busy to sit down and close my eyes. Right? It's the yeses that invite the wind. The yeses that invite the grace that awakens. And it's the no's, I don't have time, that say, I don't really want that right now. I still want to be consumed with the world and with my personality and who I think I am and what I think I want. And love is responding equally in both cases. When you say yes, love comes out of love. When you say no, love backs off out of love. So what do you want to say? And what are the ways in which you say it? How do you say yes? And how do you say no? So is that the same as the saying of Christ, according to thy faith be it done unto thee? Ramana Maharshi, quite so. And now the seeker says, the seeker is quite educated. He's talking about Christ, and now he's switching to the Upanishads, right? The Upanishads say, I am told, that he alone knows the Atman, whom the Atman chooses. Why should the Atman choose at all? If it chooses, why some particular person? You know, I've heard people say this about me a lot. You know, if they hear my story, like the story as it's told on Buddha at the gas pump, you know, they'll say, well, why did God pick you, Regine? I mean, why are you the one that heard the Holy Spirit? Why are you the one that had all those visions? Why not me? None of that stuff's ever happened to me. And that's kind of what this is saying. How come some people seem to be picked by God and other people don't? Well, the answer is, by the way, I'd like to point out that George is in the house. The answer is, when the sun rises, some buds alone blossom, not all. Do you blame the sun for that? Nor can the bud blossom of itself. It requires the sunlight to do it. So that's back to that image I was describing to you all earlier of the wind, right? Like the bud cannot blossom if the sun does not shine on it. So when I was talking about the image of the wind, if the wind blows into the heart, and that's what makes the heart start seeking, start wanting truth. But again, if when it blows into the heart, if I say no, maybe by turning this into an intellectual journey only and never actually doing any of the spiritual practices, well then, you know, it, out of love, it kind of hangs back. I've just basically said I'm not ready. But when the wind blows into the heart, if I say yes, more. Yes, more. Yes, more. You know, Jesus talked about another story too, where he talked about the farmer who spread the seed, right? And some of the seed threw on rocky soil, some on thorny soil, some I think maybe on dry soil or on the path. But then some fell on fertile soil. And blossomed a hundredfold or something like that, right? Yes, it's our yes. Yes. NTI interprets that saying, it's your choice. The seed falls on everyone, just like the sun shines on everyone. But it's your choice whether you'll say yes or not. When the sun rises, some buds alone blossom, not all. Do you blame the sun for that? Nor can the bud blossom of itself. It requires the sunlight to do it. Now for the seeker. May we not say that the help of the Atman is needed, because it is the Atman that drew over itself the veil of Maya. And Ramana Maharshi says, you may say so. The seeker says, if the Atman has drawn the veil over itself, should not itself remove the veil? And again, Ramana says, it will do so. For whom is the veil? Right? I mean, you know, is the veil over God or over consciousness? You know, consciousness sees consciousness. God sees God. Who or what does not see God? Or who or what does not see everything as consciousness? Another guy. Look at this. We got guys showing up all over the place. Ron's here. Who or what does not see consciousness? You know? Oh, it's halftime. So what, 15, 20 minutes, the guys are going to pop out again? Is that what's going to happen? Busted. No. If I am the one that does not see God, if I am the one that does not see consciousness, then I am the one that is saying no. Therefore, I am the one that needs to learn to say yes. How can I say yes? Now, that's a question that we can stay with after this teaching today. How can I say yes? How can I be like Meg Ryan in the diner and say yes, 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 right? How can I do that? And that's what I'll leave y'all with. Thank you.